All right. Father, we give you praise. Lord, I thank you for another time to share your word with your daughters. Lord, I ask that you speak through me to your daughters tonight. I ask, oh God, that let it not be me speaking. Father, I ask that you give them a word in season. Give them a word that would even, you know, go ahead of them. Father, Lord, transform their lives by your word tonight. In the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And I come against every form of distraction. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Glory with what God has in store for us tonight. All right. So lessons from four ladies in the Bible. Okay. Can we guess who these ladies are? I'm just going to give us a clue. Their name, okay, the name of the ladies that I'll be, the name of the lady I'll be sharing about, you know, tonight, her name starts from M. So in the next 30 seconds, I think that was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Nobody else. Okay, no. I'm not going to say anything. 12. Okay, I'm not doing it again. I think somebody has got. Oh, let me share count. Let me continue my count. Let me not say anything. 13, 14. What am I even? 30 seconds is too much. Oh, yeah, 30 seconds I've reached. Good. Don't waste that. You see, I'm going to fail exam. People instruction. They said the name of the person starts from M. People are putting Rab, Delilah. See you. So I'm going to put Mary. Which one? Maria. You never put your own name. You that you are Maria. I'm just saying Maria said Mary, Martha, Mary, and Mika. Okay, continue. All right, pick one though. Anyway, lessons from four ladies in the Bible. Tonight, the Lord will have me share on okay, let me continue. All right, I'll be sharing with us lessons from one lady. She is a unique lady. And Maria, let us tell me the one that you chose. Which one is Mary, Martha, Mariam? Which one is your own? I know. Okay, so she's a special lady. Anyway, it has finished, it has ended. Nobody should guess again. She's a special lady, and she is a big sister. I said it's Mary. Mary is a big sister. Mary Lazarus. Okay. She's a big sister, and she has two brothers. See you, Tenilola is not Mary. I'll be sharing on Mariam. Is it Mariam? I'll be Mariam, or whatever her name is called. I'll be how they pronounce it. I'll be sharing from lessons from Mariam or Mariam. I think it's Mariam. I don't know. Is it Mariam or Mariam? Yes, so I'll be sharing lessons from that precious woman of God. So I think the person that got it first is Betsy. Betsy Johnson, Mariam, yes. Not Mariam, it's Mariam. Alright. Is Mariam more? Let me see what God said. How is it pronounced? Okay. It's Miriam, actually, not Mariam. It's Miriam. That's Miriam, not Mariam. If you say Mariam, you are wrong. Yeah, it's Miriam. Yes, yeah, so, Mr. Jesse, I have a gift. But trust what I shared on yesterday about the intimacy time, personal encounter time. Please do not miss it. It's on Monday, 9 p.m. to 10:30. All right. Just take it as the time where you want to just, you know, fellowship with Jesus online, you know, worship God, you know, clock in for scriptures, meditate on scriptures, going to pray, you know, and spending 1 hour, 30 minutes. But some of you that you can't even spend up to 30 minutes with God on your own, just see it like, okay, this is like an exercise for you to also, you know, get into that flow. Do you understand? So please be online. Be online for it. I look forward to seeing you. So we're going to be, you know, feeding on the scriptures that we are going to be discussing tonight on Monday. All right? Yes. Micah chapter 6 verse 4. Please, who are the people posting scriptures? I have another meeting by 9:30. Okay. Micah chapter 6 verse 4. Micah chapter 6. Katiba and the Gedo Sovereigny Kapande Bologodosha. Micah chapter 6 verse 4. Oramani Katos Elemende Gede Bahaya. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Glory. Micah chapter 6 verse 4. Thank you so much, Iboko. Someone should please post for group one. Alright. It says, "For I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you." Okay, that's the NLT translation. Okay. I'm going to read from the TLB translation here. Almost the same thing. It says, "For I brought you out of Egypt and cut your chains of slavery. I gave you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you." Let me read from the Amplified. It says, "I brought you up from the land of Egypt and ransomed you from the house of slavery. Hallelujah. So it took God to send Moses, the leader, Aaron, the high priest, and Miriam, the prophetess, you know, to bring the children of Israelites from slavery in the land of Egypt. Amen. You know, and then we see from that scripture, we see that from Amplified, say that Miriam was actually a prophetess. Okay? She was a prophetess by calling. All right? Miriam was a prophetess and God sent her. So some people feel like God no longer sends women to do ministry, just the men that should be doing ministry, you know, and all of that. Women, their own is just to be cooking, giving birth to children, you know, they don't have any business with ministry. Look at it. God said, "I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." God is still in the business of sending women on assignment. Glory to God. Amen. God is still in the business of sending women on assignment. Amen. If you read the book of Psalm 68, verse 11, and the TPT translation says, "God Almighty declares the word of the gospel with power, and the warring woman of Zion delivers his message." Amen. So if you are a woman, don't feel like God cannot use you. Don't think that God cannot send you on an assignment. No, he can. He wants to, and he will. Amen. So Miriam was part of the leaders. Miriam was part of the leaders that, you know, God sent to bring out the children of Israel from slavery. So there were two men and one woman. Two men and one woman sent to the whole of Israel that had men, women, children, old men, old women, and all of that. There was just one woman. And guess what, you know, the Spirit of God said to me? He said, you know, Miriam, you know, had ladies that were under her that she was teaching. Yes, he had ladies that were under her, you know. And then it was much later when I was just studying, and then I saw a scripture, Exodus chapter 15 verse 20. Quickly, please. Exodus chapter 15 went out after her with timbrel, and you know, they were dancing. Do you understand? Okay, so Miriam the prophetess, you know, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went with her. You know, she had women that were following her. She had women that she was leading. She had women that she was coaching. She had women that, you know, she was, you know, raising. Amen. You know, in the New Testament, you know, I think it was either Titus now, you know, that I can't remember what exactly. It says to teach the older women should teach the younger women. Amen. If you're a lady here, hear this. And you don't have any lady that, you know, you are grooming, you are mentoring, you are, you know, you need to repent. All right. It's just, you know, it's just like a must that ladies must have, you know, ladies that they are mentoring. Amen. Glory to God. Even if you're a big sister and you say you have younger sisters, and your sisters cannot, you know, say that, they are learning from you. You need to watch it. Glory to God. Amen. That means that you're not living right. So Miriam the prophetess had other ladies that were learning from her. Are we following? So you see that ladies' ministry is very necessary in any move of God. In any move of God, you know, the ladies must shall be attended to. And this is not something that a man can do. A man, you know, God is so amazing. You know, he had to, you know, call Miriam to do the job together with Moses and Aaron. Because, I mean, you know, women, our matter, we need women, you know, that we will handle women issues. So we thank God for, you know, WLG. Amen. You know, I keep saying it, that there are so many ladies ministry that will still arise. We've never seen anything yet. Amen. Thank God for when ladies gather. Glory to God. So God is still in the business of calling ladies and raising ladies. Amen. So that was just like an introduction. Okay. So to the main lesson from Miriam, I'm going to start from the one that most of us know about. Okay, for those who don't know about this particular story, Miriam actually, she's the elder sister of Moses. Most people should know that. And in the book of Numbers chapter 12, she and Aaron, you know, I'm shouting this, Aaron, my husband is at home. My husband's name is Aaron. I'm just wondering, like, if we finish somehow. Okay, Moses and Miriam and Aaron, they were criticizing Moses. Okay, they were criticizing Moses. Numbers chapter 1, read it, you know, and the summary of the way it started was, they were criticizing Moses because he went to go and marry an Ethiopian woman. You know, she's dark-skinned, okay? And they were criticizing him. It didn't go down well with Miriam. Like, she was like, me, you know, why would, imagine, you know, the whole of Israel, everybody yellow skin, and then Moses the leader now went to go and bring a wife, a second wife, and she now has dark skin. I mean, Miriam was like, the racist fever entered her. Like, no, this is not nice at all. Do you understand? So she wasn't feeling the whole thing. So she started to criticize Moses. And then they now said something, they criticized him. Let me read it. Numbers chapter 12, verse 2. Can you read verse 2? You know, they now said, is the Lord only speaking to Moses alone? Like, is the Lord not speaking to us too? You know, God is speaking to us too now. Is it only Moses that used to hear God? Me, Seva, I used to hear God. You, Seva, used to hear God. Abi, Aaron, not used to hear God. Me, Seva, I used to hear God now. I know. And the Bible says the Lord heard them. And then immediately, the Lord now summoned Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to the tabernacle. He commanded all of them. I said, come here. And then the Lord descended in the cloud. And then he stood, you know, in the entrance of the tabernacle, and then he now said to Aaron and Miriam, yeah, come out, both of you, you probably gossiping, criticizing, come out. And then the Lord said to them, he said, with prophets, so prophets, I communicate with them by visions and dreams. If you're a prophet, I communicate with you by visions and dreams. He says, but Moses, I communicate with him face to face. He now said, why is it that you were not afraid to criticize him? That's verse 7. Amen. Summary of the whole gist is that in verse 10, Miriam suddenly became white with leprosy. Leprosy struck her. Why? Because she was criticizing Moses. The lesson to criticize men of God. Some of you listening to me, you've done it before. Some of you, you even did it today. That man of God, when they're driving private jet, this man of God is doing this one, he's doing that one. It is wrong. Amen. I know right now we are in the dispensation of grace, you know, but see, don't think that God has changed. He has not changed. He's still a just God, and his justice system is still very much active. In fact, sometimes, some people don't know that the reason why some things happen to them, some things they experience, some bad experiences they have, is because they are criticizing the person that God has anointed. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. We need to beware about those who about criticizing men of God, anointed men of God. God said, were you not afraid to criticize Moses? So it means that when you don't honor men of God, when you don't honor anointed of God, you lack the fear of God. People will just sit down on social media, castigating several men of God, they lack the fear of God. If you have the fear of God, your mouth will be heavy to criticize a man of God. Glory to God. Amen. God said, were you not afraid to criticize him? Like, the fear did not catch you. You're just opening your mouth. Follow me tonight. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Corrupt word. There was one time that, I think it was Baba, he said something about women or something, that some people were just running their mouth. Ah. Hey. Even if Baba was not even anointed, say, he wasn't even anointed, let's remove him from the anointing of God. Put him face to face with you. Can you open your mouth and abuse him? He's not even old enough. Glory to God. He's not even anointed. God thinks you still did not catch you. So that means to criticize an anointed of God is to criticize God himself. Amen. So we need to be very careful. We need to be very, very careful. Hallelujah. We need to be very, very careful. I love it when, you know, Psalms chapter 1 it says, you know, I will not sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of sinners. Some of you sit down when they are criticizing your pastor. You sit down with people criticizing your pastor. You're meant to walk out of that place. Amen. I cannot be in a place where they are criticizing my spiritual parents. For what? No. In fact, there was a time that I was learning, I would correct the person. No, don't say that. They are not like that. You know, none of that. But I'm seeing it in scripture that the Bible says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Say, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If you're scornful, I mean, you're criticizing and, you know, scorning, you know, the fathers, or my spiritual parents, I will just pack my sins. Bye-bye. Amen. Glory to God. It's not edifying. So if you've been here, you've been criticizing men of God, women of God, anointed of God, repent. Generally said, on a general ground, the scripture I just read, we are not meant to allow corrupt words proceed out of our mouths. No, now we talk about using that corrupt word to even not criticize an anointed of God. Ah. Amen. Now see the scripture, Romans chapter 14 verse 4. Romans chapter 14 verse 4. Many of you repent tonight. Romans chapter 14 verse 4. Are we there? Romans chapter 14 verse 4. It says, who are you to judge another servant? So his own master he stands or fall. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. He says, who are you to judge another servant? A man of God sleeps with 25 ladies in his church. He's not on social media. He says, who are you to judge him? Are you the one that called him? Someone like, hey, TMA, hey. It's true. Are you the one that called him? Glory to God. It is wrong. I'm sure last year, you know, a lot of us saw that, you know, some news here and there and all of that. Some men of God and all of that. Some of you are just posting on the status, posting. To what end? Posting what? To what end? People talk about it generally. Just say, wow, men of God are just messing up. Wow, it is well. Don't say it in such a way that you are tearing down a particular man of God. Like, no, you can talk about it generally. You know, and all that. Like, but in talking about a particular man of God, be careful. Who are you to judge another person's servant? He says, so his master is stands or falls. He is before God. Are you the one that called him? Are you the one that ordained him? Amen. This is a lesson that Miriam is showing us. She landed herself with leprosy. Some people have landed themselves with leprosy life. Their life is going nowhere because of this attitude. Criticism. They have criticizing spirit. Everything they criticize. Even their own life, they criticize their own self. God, they criticize their self. Amen. Miriam is telling us, do not, even Moses, let him man, he did whatever he did. God never, you can't say that God never bring the matter of he married Ethiopian wife, he not married Ethiopian wife. That was not even God's
scholars. Who told you to go and be criticizing him? Like, people not fear me. So imagine, let's say Moses now slept with 50 ladies in the camp. That was the matter on ground. God will not even bring it up. Yes. He didn't bring it up. He didn't bring it up that he married an Ethiopian woman. The matter on ground was, how dare you judge him? How dare you criticize him? Let's be careful, though. I'm telling people, let's be careful. This area of social media, that anything that just come out, palm. People have copy and paste, poo-poo. I know. I just look at some of you. Oh, God. I know. Hey, it's only my mentees that I can cut to order. I know, but I'm telling you, people, generally, it is not your business. We can see it in the Word of God. It says, who are you to judge? Amen. You know, in fact, being married to my husband has really helped me because sometimes, I'll be like, you need people like that around you. People that can remind you that no, we're not talking about this. It's not before us. If anything you want to talk about how, you know, you can pray for him, how you can help him. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we getting blessed tonight? Glory to God. Aaron showed us that, see, criticism, no. It is wrong. So if peradventure you've been criticizing, you know, a man of God, God's anointed, please repent. Don't join that company. Alright? Don't join that company. Be careful. Okay? Be careful. You can see that Miriam was a prophetess. God, as in, she's special. Like, you know that time to be called of God and be single-handedly, you know, like now that all of us, you know, you see many pastors. That time was just three of them that the anointing. Before God now multiplied it on other people from Moses' head. As special as she was, God knocked her with leprosy. It's the justice system of God. Amen. So please, let's stop that criticizing. Anybody, a friend comes, hey, you hear this one? This man of God, he did this one. I don't know. Please, can we pray for him? It is wrong. What did he do? Yeah. Can we pray? You know, some people say, not even, some people even go and build YouTube channel on top of criticizing men of God. I pity them, oh. They don't know what they are incurring for their generation. Let's be guided by the Word of God. Let's be guided by the Word of God. Some people, you know, build up blogs and all that to criticize God's anointed. All right. When I read it, you know, Miriam was actually Jesus, is Moses' elder sister. So let's turn our Bible to Exodus chapter 2. If you permit me, I'm going to run now. Exodus chapter 2. If you read from Exodus chapter 1, you realize that Pharaoh ordered that the male children of the Hebrew women, they should be killed, they should be thrown, you know, into the river now, and, you know, they should be killed. I know. Okay. So, verse chapter 2 tells us that, you know, showed us how Moses was giving birth, and then his parents saw that it was a proper child.
So they hid him for 3 months. When they could not hide him again, they now shall wrapped him, you know, and then inside, you know, what the Bible even calls it? Is it an ark of bulrushes? Yeah, the kind of I think the kind of tree or something. Yeah, and then they put him on the river, so he was just floating. The Bible says that Miriam looked to see what will happen. Verse 4. I'm coming, please. Let me scroll there. Okay. Okay. Exodus chapter 2, verse 4. It says, the baby's sister watched from a distance. I'm reading from TLB. Don't mind me. I relate very well with TLB, but NKJV is fine. The baby's sister watched from a distance to see what will happen to him. Imagine, you know, I won't say if your own baby brother, you know, imagine like, you know, someone's baby, younger one, they wrap the baby and put the baby in the river. Like, she stood to see what will happen. My baby needs attention. Okay, so I really how, you know, she was just undaunted. Like, she said, I was looking at her baby brother, the river now. You know, just going like that. And the Bible says she stood. Sorry, can you hear me, Karen? Thank you. And the Bible says she stood. Okay, sorry. Alright, the Bible says she stood and washed. Alright. So really, as a little girl, standing to watch your baby brother just floating in the river, I don't know. I really don't know. But, okay, where is the point of where we're going to today? There's something I want us to see from Miriam. verse 7, it says, so, for those of us who missed CRS class in secondary school, Pharaoh's daughter came to with her maid to the river to come and, you know, I think they wanted to receive bait or something. I know. So, okay. Yes. Okay, they came to bait at the river, and she came with her maid. So, that's how they heard baby crying in the river. And she was now touched. She gets. And then she said, this is one of the Hebrews children, no. That's how. Are we following, please? Are we still connected? Okay. Alright, so that's how, you know, Miriam came and said that. Should I go and call one of the Hebrew, you know, women to come and nurse the baby for you? And then the princess said, yes, please. So the little girl rushed to man. She went to go and call the mother. So, like, I mean, hey, do you not notice that this little girl, Miriam, one of the things she did was how she kept her identity secret. She not run to meet the princess. I'm like, hey, princess, this is my baby brother. Oh, hey, can you come and carry him? She was so matured about it. She was so discreet. Amen. She was discreet about her identity. But that's not even the main, you know, lesson I want us to pick. But the truth is, being discreet is, you know, being able to be wise in your dealings and not share all your information, you know, and all of that. Some people, they don't even have private life. Even though they are blessing people with their lives online, they don't have private life. Everything is online. I just finished waking up. I just bit it. They are married. Me and my husband, we use this one. We just had sex. So I mean, and I'm like, okay. No privacy short life. Everything just out there. It's wrong. So people are still surprised how I was able to keep my pregnancy, you know, private. Anyway, that's just for another day. But you see how she was discreet. She was like, oh wow, she just came on the scene. She was like, should I go and find to go and call her mother? The Pharaoh's daughter does not know what's going on. She does not know what exactly is going on. Now, the main lesson I want us to pick from Miriam is this. Miriam had an enterprising spirit. Or she has an enterprising spirit. Yes. She was able to see an opportunity and then she keyed into it. For those of you in business, those who are doing business, you better listen and pay attention, because, you know, while I was just, you know, meditating on today's at his feet, I was just saying business. And the Spirit of God was telling me that, you know, those of you in business, amen. So I began to search, research about enterprising spirit. And then I found some things about people who have enterprising spirit. I'm going to read it. I want us to pay attention. Okay, are we following, please? All right. Opportunities that present themselves, regardless of the economy. Amen. Glory to God. Regardless of the situation of things, Miriam was able to seize the opportunity that presented herself. I presented itself. She saw Pharaoh's daughter come to the river to bathe. And she saw that she was, you know, feeling for the baby. She seized that opportunity. She was confident enough, bold enough to approach the princess. She was creative enough to know that, okay, this baby needs to be nursed. I'm not even going to look for any other. I'm going to look for the mother, of Moses, and then it's going to look like she's the mother, like it's going to look like I just called somebody to not her. I don't think, you know, she didn't present it like she was calling Moses' mother. She said, should I go and call a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? Glory to God. So she was really creative. Something else about enterprising people I found is enterprising people always find a way to take advantage of a situation. They are not burdened by it. She could have just been there crying, hey God, Pharaoh's daughter has come for my brother. Oh my God. Hey, they're going to take my brother away. Should I not be crying there? They're going to take my brother away. They're going to take my brother away. What will I do? They're going to take my brother away. They've carried my brother. My brother is gone. That's what she should have just been doing. But she saw that she could take advantage of it. And she approached the princess. I said, should I go and call a nurse to help you? Because the nurse, the princess did not even think that she would need a nurse. But Miriam was able to bring the need, as in bring it up to the princess, to make her say that you actually need this thing. No, I say yes, please, I need it. Now the thing with enterprising people is that they help you see that you need what they have to offer. For those of you in business, You say, I'm not making sales, I'm not selling. And you have a good product. Perhaps maybe people don't see the need for what you have to offer. Enterprising people, they make you see the need for what they have to offer. When they present it to you like this, you want to go and clear your account. It's not witchcraft, no. They make you see that this thing that I'm offering you, you need it. Amen. So for those of you who are in business, you just do your business, let me just do it. Can you begin to make people see that they need what you're offering? They need your product, they need your services. You have so much loaded, you have so much you can give out. Well, nobody's, purchasing. People are not, coming, purchase from you. People are not coming for your goods or your services. Can you make people see that they need what you have? Miriam went to the princess and showed her that, see, you need a nurse, so, and I can help you get a nurse for this baby. That's enterprising people. That's an enterprising spirit. Another thing about enterprising people is that they are not lazy. They don't wait for opportunities to come to them. They go after the opportunities. I love that. Miriam went to meet the princess. And she went to, she said, I will go and look for the Hebrew nurse for you. She went to go and look for the Hebrew nurse. She not just say, I know Hebrew nurse, so I know an Hebrew nurse, so I know. And they're like, They just say, okay, well, let's just be carrying maybe to the palace. Or she said, let me go and bring it. She closed the deal. I will go and bring an Hebrew nurse for you. And the priest said, yes, I need an Hebrew. Go and bring the Hebrew nurse. She went. Some of you, God has given you business idea, but you are just lazy about it. You are not letting people see why they need your goods and services. You're not engaging your creative mind to be able to come up with creative ways so that you can make people see that they need what you have to offer. Looking at the media industry, for instance, talking about movies. You see some of all these movies. Have you not watched some trailers of some movies before? It will look like, if you don't watch this movie, your life is going. The thriller movie will be like bang, 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 bang. They will have all the interesting part, put sound, everything beam. And you're like, hey, I must go to the cinema. I must watch this movie. And then sometimes you're even watching the movie, you're like, I don't understand. Is it the movie that I saw the thriller? What's going on? They've gotten you already. So that one, whether you're angry, like you spent your money, that was not their business. Do you understand? But they were able to draw you to their product. Amen. As believers, there's such a thing as an enterprising spirit that we must have. We must be able to draw people into what we are doing. We must be able to come up with creative ways. Some of you think is for fun. When you're shambala, 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 just to know that you are tapping into the creative tank of God. God is a creative, he's a creator. You're created after his image and his likeness. So you are a creative. Everybody is selling shoe. Can you come up with a way to sell it that people will be hungry to buy? Can you press into the creative, to the creative one on the inside of you and come up with a creative wave? There's no time, I've given us several examples of people who don't even have the Spirit of God, how they've done creative things, and I'm like, wow. Amen. Glory to God. You see, some people preach the gospel. See, you just want to preach. No. Jesus used an enterprising spirit to catch that woman at the well. You don't know. It's an enterprising spirit he used. He didn't perform any miracle. He did not perform any miracle. That woman at the well, he didn't perform any miracle. He seized this opportunity. He said, I want water. He created a need. And then the woman said, the woman, you know, that need brought about the conversation. The woman was like, Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. I don't understand. What are you trying to do? And then Jesus seized that opportunity. You need an enterprising spirit, though. On Monday, we are going to pray. There's no time. On Monday, do well for the intimacy time. We are going to pray some prayers. Enterprising spirit. Creative ideas. Amen. We can't just be doing things the way we're doing, you know. No. Every day people are coming up with concept ideas, business, different businesses. Why should people buy from you? What's the unique thing about your business? Why should we come to you? Amen. Enterprising people are problem solvers. Miriam had this. She had it. She solved our problem, our mother's problem, baby Moses' problem, and the Pharaoh's daughter's problem. And eventually ended up saving the person who was going to save the children of Israel much later. You see the power of being enterprising, seizing opportunities. And it's the wisdom of God that does this thing. It's not like, it's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God in operation. Amen. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the last verse, it says, and Christ has been made unto us wisdom. Yeah, we're not believers to be dumb. We're not believers to be dumb, to be dulling. You see, believers, you know, getting the last in class, failing, and they are the ones that can pray the most. What do you want unbelievers to be seeing? I don't want them to be seeing us. I don't want them to be looking at us. Is that how I want to preach the gospel to them? By taking all the helps. Say, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. Amen. You carry the Holy Ghost on your inside. You carry the wisdom of God on the inside of you. The creative one lives on the inside of you. He resides on the inside of you. And then God said in the book of James, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Amen. Glory to God. Some of you, the reason you're not, you know, experiencing, you know, profit in your business, it's a wisdom gap. It's not any wish in your village. Let me tell you, some of you feel, in my village people, let me tell you the truth. It's not every time that it is a demon. Or is a, you know, is a wisdom issue. I'm not saying that demons are not real, they are real. Do you get? But as a child of God, you have authority over them. You have authority to cast out demons. But most of the time, it's a wisdom issue. And then you see somebody that has a wisdom issue going to the mountain to pray for deliverance. When it's just a wisdom issue of work on this, work on that, or stop packaging your product like this, or start making your product skinny. How do you want somebody, you want to go and meet a man of God to pour 25 gallons of oil on your head, and then you say you are a caterer, but all your food are always salty. I don't understand. You are meant to go and work on how to adjust your food. Go and go for more courses. Glory to God. Enterprising spirit. So she's a problem solver. Miriam went to the princess. God is already asking you, when? When are you going to submit that proposal? When are you going to start that business? When are you going to open that restaurant? When? Everybody's saying, God, when? When are you going to take that professional course? God is asking you when. Imagine if Miriam was just there saying, God, when? This is how life is. We are, my younger brother, is that how it's going to go? No! Amen.
We keep asking God when, but God is waiting for us to arise. She's saying, God, when help has come.
When help has come. You know, like I said, when I was studying about Miriam tonight, I just kept, you know, hearing businesses in my spirit. And, you know, I was just like, wow, God.
God, we have a conference coming up, you know, very soon. Amen. You know, the team is people in the team that they know how much the oil is going to cost and all of that. I have called for financiers, WWC financiers. I know. God will put money in our hands to finance his work. See, there is money in this kingdom. There is money. So your business must thrive. You must stop playing small. Amen. God. There's one of my friends, I love her so much. She has an enterprising spirit. Somebody was advertising something on Instagram. She's abroad. She's like, I need a kinikon, somebody that will help me do this, that, preferably a person of color. Well, my friend just went to her DM. She said, I can do this. Long story short, she's working for the woman now. The woman is paying her $150 to help her manage her social media page. I said, are you a woman of color? So what's her own? She sees the moment. Amen. See, you are blessed. To carry the blessing. You cannot be rejected. Amen. Glory to God. Stop. Hey, this opportunity for me. Will they accept me? Go for it. If it does not work, try another one. The fact that you made a mistake or they didn't accept doesn't mean that you're a mistake. You are blessed. You have the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is upon you. And it's a blessing of unto increase, unto multiplication, not unto failing and decrease and, you know, no. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when ladies gather, we need to arise. We need to have an enterprising spirit. What idea has God given you? Some of you, God gave you business idea. You're just treating me like a rag. Business idea. You can see how that saving and Moses. You can see it was a big deal. Saving Moses was a big deal. Moses was a savior. It was one that God was going to use to deliver, you know, children of Israel. Of course, yes, God sent Aaron and Miriam as, you know, together. But if Moses was not in the picture, nobody's moving anywhere. It's the truth. God said, I sent Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. They all had a part to play. So what Miriam did at that little stage, saving a small baby, see the big potential, you know, that he had years later. So we are just despising the business idea that God gave you. God said I should be selling bed sheets. God said I should be selling material. And the way you are saying to yourself, it's like you don't even believe in it. Can you start honoring that business idea that God gave you? And then by the help of the Spirit, start searching your spirit on how it can be bigger, and then read about research. See, well, believers, we are very, very advantaged though. We are not disadvantaged at all. I was reading a documentary of a guy that was, I forgot his name now. He was homeless, used to sleep in car. But summary of it all is that the guy is not a billionaire now. He's a billionaire. He has, you know, some... he's a foreign, you know, Kenyan, but when you talk about billionaires in the world, he's one of them. And I looked at the situations that surrounded this guy, the circumstances that surrounded this guy. This guy was poor, he was sleeping in vehicles and all of that, but he ended up a billionaire. You are you sleeping inside vehicles? Don't you have house you're sleeping on? I'll be in. Amen. So you are not disadvantaged at all. Just get angry with poverty and say, not anymore. I arise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. There are ladies listening to me tonight. You are going to do big things for God. Amen. That place you are working, the Lord said, I should tell you, you are going to have, you know, many, many, you know, your branches of that kind of business. Yes, and you're going to head it. Don't despise the days of little beginnings. All right. Another thing about Miriam that I saw is that she recognized the princess as helper. Because if we read Exodus chapter 1 verse 22, the last verse of Exodus chapter 1, it says Pharaoh commanded all his people to throw the newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River. But the girls, he said, could live. So she did not assume that Pharaoh's daughter would be like her dad. You know, she didn't assume like And you know what this shows us? This shows us that see, God uses the most unlikely person. God uses the most unlikely people. God used the most unlikely person to save Moses. So please stop limiting God. Stop limiting God. Stop limiting God. Stop limiting God. All the people that you have put up on, have they not saved you? You put up on Uncle A, Uncle B, Uncle C, Auntie A, Auntie B. Have they not failed you? Are you not tired? Stop limiting God. Put your faith in God. God can use anybody. God can use anybody. Me, I know this one. Was it not WWC 2019? We're trusting God for, you know, finance and all of that. God used somebody that was outside WLG. The person called me. She's not in WLG. The person called me. I said, God said it should ask me. Whether do I have anything, you know, in my mind? It was so funny. Do I have anything that, you know, that is, you know, disturbing me? I said, it's conference, so we need to put something in place. And she sent an account number. She sent money. And he was able to cater for, you know, major things. So God can use anybody. So if God wants to use us, we are privileged. So please stop putting, I don't put faith on people. No. Yes, I'll make the call though that, you know, let's come and, you know, finance WWC. But I'm not, if it's one person, no problem. I see some people have joined. Fine, beautiful. But I'm not putting my trust in people. Our help comes from God. Amen. God uses the most unlikely people. That's what he used for Moses. How will the enemy, how will your own enemy be the one that, it's so funny, your enemy, the daughter of your enemy is who God used to save your child. God has helpers. He wants to help you. Amen. So let's look to God. You know, Psalm 54 verse 4, it says, God is my helper. Behold, God is mine helper. mine helper. Like, the psalmist has personalized God. God is my helper. Who is your helper? Your boss at work? Your uncle, your niece, or be your auntie? God is your helper. God is my helper. Come on, say, God is my helper. Amen. Glory to God. Miriam realized that this is like help from God though. This is help from God. She recognized helpers. On Monday we're gonna be praying that we'll be able to recognize our destiny helpers. Some of us, we don't even recognize our destiny helpers. Amen. We don't even know that some people that God has put around us as destiny helpers, we're even meant to be servicing that relationship. We don't know. Servicing that relationship in terms of God. Okay, there's this guy. Most of us will know him, okay? The one that died during SARS. Some of people will know him. I know. So, he's a designer and all of that. He got a job to work in Paystack. According to what I was told. You know, he got a job to work in Paystack. So, he got a job to work in Paystack. It's not something you see on Jobberman open like that. No. How did he get that job? There's someone on Twitter that works in Paystack. You know, the guy will be sending this guy message like, if you need anything I can help you with, and all of that, if you need any help online, any, you know, thing. So that's how he became friends with this guy. for like, I think for like 4 years or so. So when there was an opening in Paystack, it was that guy that came to his heart to bring. The guy just was scheduled for an interview on Monday. I think he died before the interview. To work in Paystack, forget it. Your life is like, you're already balling. Do you understand? So it takes the Spirit of God to show us that this person, this relationship, note it. Take, like, you need to you know, cater for that relationship, service that relationship. Little as, you know, you may have someone who has a lot of money and the Spirit of God is telling you, send this person airtime. You're like, airtime? Why would I be sending this person airtime? No, no, the Spirit of God is trying to tell you to establish your heart in that person's, you know, establish yourself in that person's heart. Amen. There are relationships that we have to service. Glory to God. And then God can even use anybody that you know you have not even serviced at all. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I'm trying to tell you that when God has, you know, when he has surrounded you with destiny helpers, learn to service those relationships. Learn to cater for it. Don't frustrate it every time. Uncle, an issue. Uncle, when will you say, Uncle, what can I help you to do? When will you say, Uncle, is there anything you need? I can help you. When will you offer you? Every time you need. So when Uncle is thinking about who to give a big, major opening for, he's not thinking about the person that has been sucking him dry. He's thinking about somebody who has been helping him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I believe we're getting blessed tonight. Want to share, but I cannot share. Amen. But I'm just gonna share, you know, a testimony from, you know, one of a WRG member. She's also a daughter in the house. She said how that, you know, God, you know, she accommodated somebody, you know, a friend last year, and then the friend has a coach, and then the friend called her and said her coach wants to see her. Coach just, she told her coach about what she does and all. Her coach was really impressed. She went to see the coach in a hotel. The coach was there with his wife. And that's how the coach just said, wow, I didn't know what you do. And then the coach just said, send me a card number. Next thing she saw was about 200,000. To go and, you know, support herself and all of that. Now imagine if she treated that as guest rudely. You think she'll mention her to her coach? Some of you, your destiny up, they're not far from you. Today you post this one, tomorrow you post that one, tomorrow you post tomorrow you post this one. Posting, what's your purpose in life? Can your social media reflect your values? Reflect the things, and then people are like, wow. Okay, wow, this person, wow. So when they are thinking about who to support, who to bless, or who to refer, they will think about you. Amen. God is our helper. God is our helper. Psalm 54 verse 4, the Amplified, it says, behold, God is my helper and ally. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul, my upholder. Amen. TPC says, God is my divine helper. Say, God has become my divine helper. And the thing about this God is my helper is God is a spirit. John 4 verse 20. Careful how you relate to people. Love all men. Honor all men. Stop treating people anyhow. I have heard stories of how gate man has opened doors for people. Gate men have opened doors for people. Some people are kingmakers. Stop treating people anyhow. Stop looking down on people. Amen. God is going to use people. See, God is your helper. So your eyes must be to God, not to people. So, but when your eyes are to God, let your heart be enlarged towards people. Let your heart love people. Because even when God is even moving some people's self to bless you, if their heart does not like you, they are struggling, That one. God has told me I should support her, but me, I'm still thinking about it. Sometimes some people take time to release what God has told them to because they have, you know, reservations. Let me not get into that. Amen. So God will have to really, you know, be on their case, or God will have you send another person. But you that you need that thing, time is going. And you'll be feeling like God is not faithful. But it's the person that God sent to send it to you that is delaying. So all of us don't know how these things work. Amen. So we must love all men. We must be at peace with all men. The Bible says, as much as within our power, be at peace with all men. Amen. Psalms 121 verse 1 to 2. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth. He says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Where does your help come from? I read the scriptures today and I broke down. God is my helper. As in, I don't know about you, but I need God to help me. Except that vision in your heart is not bigger than you. If it's bigger than you, you need someone bigger than you to help you. God is my helper. So we're going to lift up our eyes to him. The Bible says, and they looked up to him, they were not ashamed. If you keep looking at men, you'll be ashamed. Psalm 34 verse 5 says, they looked to him and they were not ashamed. If you look to man, we put you to shame, they will disappoint you. When you know someone is your helper, what do? You spend time with that person. John 16 verse 7, the Amplified Translation. It says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. The Holy Ghost is our helper. I don't know about you, but I am so done trying to do things on my own, with my own power, with my own agility. I want God to help me. Like, I want him to help me. Yes, I have my strategies and all of that that he has given me and all of that, but God, I still want you to help me. I want you to help me in business. I want you to help me in my ministry. I want you to help me. Can we just cry out for God to help us tonight? He's our helper. He wants to help us. Oh, come on, say, Father, help me. My help comes from you. Oh, kamandi balagado, shalamande gede bohosa. Oh, ripande keto sulamahande gede bahande. I'm just going to play a song, and then I just want you to pray as that song is playing. Just talk to God tonight. Talk to your Father. He's our helper. Quit from trying to do things by yourself, by your own self. If, you know, Miriam had tried to, you know, if God didn't help Miriam, they would have lost, you know, Moses. They would have lost him, but God helped them. And then that was the time that Pharaoh's daughter came to take her back. That was God sending help. That was God saving Moses. God is our helper. God wants to help us. He wants to help his children. He wants to help you in your business. He wants to help you make the most of 2021. Oh, Rabba Shande Gedu Salibe Endi Kapande. Oh, Rama Kande Bologodosha. Oh, Rabba Tilamande Gede Bohosha. Oh, Rabba Kande Bologodosha. Oh, Makatala Balagadosha Tandili Gedosha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord.
She will not, no, no, no.